It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Ho, ho, the mistletoe hung where you can see. Somebody waits for you, kiss her once for me. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and in case you didn't hear, oh, by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year.
Can anybody listen to this song without thinking of the great Khali?
I was going to say, why aren't you playing that one?
It's impossible to listen to this song without hearing those words in my head. What a great song to ruin. It's the Brian Vinny Show, everybody. It's December 15th, 2010. There's only 10 more days until Christmas.
It's impossible.
No, it's true. It's only 10 more days until Christmas, everybody. Christmas this year falls on a Saturday. How about that? So you can all look forward to that, everyone. We're going to do some Christmas cheer on this show in the form of about 5 billion shout-outs. I don't know why we've got so many today, but we are bombarded. Bombarded, I say, with shout-outs. Talk about Raw. I'll let Vinny give his 5-minute review. I may actually set the timer today for 5 minutes, because Christ knows. Do we really need to talk about that 3-hour fucking Raw for more than 5 minutes, Vince?
No.
That was a bad show.
Oh, I totally agree.
A terrible show. Just a terrible, wretched show that with few redeeming qualities on it.
I'm going over right now to see if there's a single segment I enjoyed.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about 24/7. And we'll talk about a great, great show. ROH on HDNet.
Fuck yes.
That was the best show of the week.
Oh, you don't say.
That was
this week in particular.
Best show of the week. So anyway, let's get going on Raw. I actually didn't bring my timer up, so I'm going to run and get it. So I'm going to...
Are you going to hit pause?
No. I'm going to let you start going.
All right.
I always love to sync this show by giving you time on your own.
It is a great way to ensure terrible radio.
Yeah. So you're going to get an extra minute here while I go get my phone.
Right, I will summarize this Raw by saying I believe the highlight of the show, in all seriousness, may have been David Arquette. He was all over it, and he was great. He opened the show, in fact. He come out, and he got a great heel promo. They introduced him as a former WCW champion. He talked about what a great champion he was, that he beat Eric Bischoff for the belt, which I guess is true. He plugged Ready to Rumble in 2010. The award he gave was Shocker of the Year. The nominations were Miz cashes in Money in the Bank, Nexus kills John Cena, Paul Bearer turns on Undertaker, and Orton punts Chris Jericho to death in a moment that was so shocking I had completely forgotten it. Nexus won. Wade accepted the award, took credit for all the success, and basically reminded us that he had to rehire Cena tonight or Nexus would kick him out. Then the GM interrupted. He booked Wade Barrett versus Big Show. They had a terrible match. Wade stalled the entire time and then grabbed his slammy and walked away. I have no idea what the point of this was.
I wonder how many viewers we lost in that last minute right there.
We had Kelly Kelly and Tyson Kidd in a verbal debate.
Actually, hold on. I got to cut you off here.
Not making this up.
You really thought that David Arquette during his promos was any good whatsoever?
I enjoy David Arquette.
I thought David Arquette in the ring was quite frankly, outstanding when you compare him to the other idiot guest hosts that try to do physical action. He was like the best worker of all of the non-workers. I think he may have been a better worker than you, quite frankly, Vince.
Not impossible.
But
I was by the end of the show, I decided he was not the worst WCW champion of all time.
I don't know. Vince Russo was by a country mile. But seriously, though, his promos were horrendous.
Well, I disagree.
All right.
So, yes, Kelly Kelly and Tyson Kidd.
What a compelling argument we just had right there.
I don't like arguing, so I don't. Kelly Kelly and Tyson Kidd, a verbal debate.
Sound like a challenge.
Got to hear Kelly you say the following phrase, heinous atrocities committed with malice and treachery.
Yeah. Much Tyson, like Arquette's promos, I might add.
Sure. Tyson identified his new giant friend as Jackson Andrews, not to be confused with former President Andrew Jackson. The award was...
Or Abraham Washington.
Sure. I didn't even write down what the award was. I didn't care. But CM Punk won. Oh, it was for Despicable Me, most evil person, basically. And he was very ecstatic to win this award for being evil. He celebrated almost as big as he did when he won his world title. He came up the ramp. He was very happy. He has a Vince McMahon haircut now. That's awesome. He said that Rey Mysterio had wronged him in the past, which is why he had sung happy birthday to his daughter like that. He said someone else had also wronged him, and one day he would get even, and it would be worse than what he did to Rey.
Mm.
Daniel Bryan has an awesome new shirt that on the front says Daniel Bryan and has a picture of a ring. On the back it says Submission Wrestling. Tremendous.
I bet he made that himself.
It looks like it, but that's good. You know, I wrote down the match and then didn't write down anything else that happened, and I've completely forgotten, so we're just going to move on. Santino and Kozlov came out to introduce an award. I thought this was actually horrible comedy until Kozlov announced, and nominees are... It was Guest Star of the Year, Mike Tyson knocking out Chris Jericho, Miz and Pee Wee, Wayne Brady getting RKO'd, to something else I had completely forgotten, William Shatner singing, and somehow Pee Wee won. It should have been Shatner. The announcer said it should have been Shatner. Everyone knows it should have been Shatner. I think Shatner just didn't have time to cut a video for them. So Pee Wee did. He won. He cut a long, long promo plugging his Broadway show. I couldn't believe they didn't edit this video, frankly. We had a Nexus segment. David Otunga has an amazing ability to suck all the energy out of any show. We had Mark Henry versus Cody Rhodes, continuing Cody Rhodes' streak from SmackDown of having Dandy versus Strongman matches straight out of the 20s.
Never thought of it that way.
That's it. On SmackDown, it was him versus Chris Masters in a full Nelson challenge. That was Dandy versus Strongman. So was this. It's Mark Henry.
This Dandy versus Strongman.
Straight out of the 1920s, yes.
How many Dandy versus Strongman matches have you ever seen from the 1920s?
Few.
I can't think of any. Just sounds like 50s? something you might see in the 20s.
I'm sure they were around.
Hmm.
Maybe Carl Stern would know.
I was going to say, I'm going to have to ask Carl Stern about Dandy versus Strongman matches.
I'm sure, perhaps 1920s is putting it too strong, but I'm sure Gorgeous George had a number of matches against strongmen.
So you presume he was a dandy?
Yes.
Okay.
Anyway, Cody won this match here. It was a fine match. Cody won with a kick to the face and a knee drop to the back. So I guess that's his new move, or he just needed something to do to the giant Mark Henry. We had Jerry Lawler and Vicky Guerrero doing the holy shit moment. Cena won for putting Dave Batista through the stage with the FU. It was bullshit. The obvious winner was Randy Orton hitting the RKO on Evan Bourne in midair. In a spot I still can't believe they wasted in a nothing angle. And not for, like, the finish of a match.
If Dave was going to be in a holy shit moment, it should have been his daughter's sex tape getting out.
I thought you were going to say some of the outfits he wore towards the end of his run.
No, that was great.
I still remember
that should have won a different kind of award.
I still remember the sweater vest and golf cap.
He's a great man.
So,
and a pissed off man.
You don't say.
Yeah.
So, Cena won, but Wade commandeered the slammy. What happened next took a very long time.
Did you see the sex tape?
I have not seen Dave Batista's...
No one cares about the Raw. They care about this.
I have not seen Dave Batista's daughter's sex tape.
Really? Why?
I've seen a lot of people having sex in my life, and I don't see why I should care about Dave Batista's daughter doing it.
It's news.
I see.
There was nothing to it.
It was two people having sex?
Actually, you should watch it to see how unbelievably lame it was.
That's what I expected it would be.
Yeah.
The only way I really think this would be news, the only way I can figure this... is if Dave Batista's daughter goes from being absolutely nobody to if it somehow elevates her to any kind of celebrity status, Dave may see this and perhaps he will follow suit.
I was thinking more that Dave would be like incredibly pissed off and angry, and then perchance he would watch it and he would respond with one of those laughs where he goes, ha 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 ha.
That is more entertaining than Raw, you are correct.
Yes, far more entertaining than Raw.
Wade rehired Cena. They're going to have a chair match at the pay-per-view. He announced the match and then attacked Cena with a chair. That's always great. So Cena beat him up. This segment took forever to get that much done. David Arquette was hanging out with Miz and Alex Riley backstage. He was wearing an outfit that looked like Evel Knievel fucked Elvis. This was not backstage. He was announcing an award. It was fan reaction of the year. They had a bunch of wacky names for, like, Dumbstruck Moron and such. The winner, of course, was Angry Ms. Girl, who was actually there. Mm-hmm. That's tremendous. She came out to say thank you. She's a 9-year-old girl, so thankfully Miz cut her off almost immediately. He stole her slammy. Punk was making fun of him, saying he's going to sing happy birthday to her. That made me laugh. And Miz was ranting for a while until the GM interrupted, booked Miz versus Ray. They had an okay match. It was a lot of shit going on at the end. Alberto Del Rio was there. Riley got involved. They all conspired to screw Ray and Miz one with a small package. Then David Arquette got in the ring. It was Arquette, Miz, and Riley. Arquette was dancing to Miz's theme song. That was a great win right there. The GM booked Riley and Arquette versus Orton in a handicap match. Arquette was completely fine with this, ready to go. And this was the moment right here where I decided this show had redeemed his title win. Edge came out to introduce Meltdown of the Year. Said Kane was supposed to be his co-presenter, but he was having his own meltdown. He said he brought out somebody to co-present. It was Christian. I could have sworn these guys were fighting last time I saw them on the show.
And we're supposed to believe that WWE decided to put Kane and Edge together as co-presenters?
I don't know.
I call shenanigans.
Dude, of all the things in that feud to hate,
I mean, I'm not talking about hating. I'm just talking about how stupid that would be.
Well, it was stupid. But Christian and Edge did some comedy about the GM and meltdowns. Edge won for the time he attacked the laptop. And it was actually funny comedy. And Christian needs to come back. He has the match with Alberto waiting, which he plugged here. He needs to come back and do that one match, and then Edge and Christian need to be tag team champions immediately. Immediately.
I have no idea how you and I do the show together with such completely divergent views on what's funny. Edge's shit was funny comedy to you?
Well, mostly Christian shit.
Oh, that's a little better.
Edge was the setup for Christian calmly and rashly pulling out his iPhone and making it go, making it do the GM noise.
That was at least mildly entertaining.
Yes, plus they're both great wrestlers, and Kozlov and Santino are not. So I won the belts on them.
I don't know what Santino and Kozlov had to do with anything, but go ahead.
Well, they're the tag team champions.
I see. You realize Christian's not coming back for a long ass time.
I do realize that.
All right.
Like at least Mania or something, but regardless.
Now watch him try and rush him back for the pay-per-view.
Well, that would suck. Speaking of things that suck, Sheamus and Morrison wrestled for 15 seconds. It was a double DQ. The GM responded by booking them in a number one contenders ladder match for the pay-per-view. I assume this leads to Miz versus Morrison at Royal Rumble. They did an amazingly stupid ladder spot here with the ladder leaned up on the ring apron and Morrison tossed over the ropes onto it, so it had no give. I could not fathom why you would ever do this. Like, in the match, I wouldn't do this, let alone in an angle to build the match.
With no replay.
Just devoid of merit, lifelong pain, just stupid. JTG and Regal announced Knucklehead of the Year. They were not nearly as wacky a duo as you would have thought. Lay Cool won for the time they beat Mae Young, which was retarded, because Show unmasking CM Punk and Santino and Kozlov, I realize I just buried them, but the time they had their dance-off were both way better than that one. So that led to the...
Well, the idea was you can't do the Slammy Awards for these fools unless they each have a Slammy.
I see.
Both have to have one. But yes, Big Show did not win his own award.
Yeah. So...
What a loser.
I was going to say, no, you can't do that, but then I realized in the last segment, Edge did in fact win his own award. So there you go. A bunch of divas came out for the Battle Royal. I did not bother to write all the names down. Jerry Lawler said, and I quote, "How many divas are there?" They had an even worse Battle Royal than usual. It came down to 5 or 6 girls, and then suddenly they were all gone in like 2 seconds. Michelle won, so she is the Diva of the Year. Yeehaw. And the GM then booked Lay Cool versus Natalya and Beth in a Divas table match for the pay-per-view. I suspect Lay Cool is going to win that one.
I would expect otherwise.
I don't think Layla can go through a table. I don't think she's big enough.
You go through a table.
Yeah.
Besides, maybe only one girl has to go through a table.
Perhaps. We had Edge versus Jack Swagger. This actually may have been the only redeeming factor of the show.
You have to put your opponent through a table, so unless she gets whipped into a table, how are either of those girls going to lift up Beth or Natalya?
They'd have to throw them off the top rope or something. Yeah, that's actually a good point. Anyway, Edge and Swagger had a pretty good match. They didn't have a lot of time, but Edge won clean with a spear. He's getting the title shot on Sunday, so it all made sense. This was fine. Riley was upset about teaming with Arquette because he was in Scream and everybody in Scream died. I did laugh at that line. Arquette showed up. He was now wearing a Kurt Angle gi. I don't know where he got all these outfits, but that made it better, the fact that he changed for every segment. He was completely excited for this main event. They had some kid win a contest for doing cool moves in the video game they have. Something about that made me laugh. They showed his fake characters doing fake moves, I guess. Show came out to announce Moment of the Year. He was wearing a suit. I don't know where he found a suit that fit him. He was listing great...
Same place you did for the wedding.
He was listing great stars of the past like Hulk Hogan and Steve Austin. And one guy screamed, Lex Luger!
I didn't hear that.
That made me laugh. So the nominees for Moment of the Year were John Cena getting fired, Sheamus beating up Hunter, Edge spearing Jericho through a wall after he lost a match, and Taker beating Shawn. The winner was Taker beating Shawn at WrestleMania. They had a Shawn Michaels video where he said he would not identify his location because he was afraid they would try to talk him into coming back. That was awesome. He said he did not miss wrestling, but he did miss the fans. So I'm sure that's true. We had Orton versus Riley and Arquette. Here was where Punk said David Arquette was wearing Clubber Lang's gi, which is a fine reference. It was an Orton squash. He was about to put Riley through the table when Miz attacked him. Wait, what the hell happened here? The point is, David Arquette ended up going through a table.
That's all we need to know.
Yeah, and Miz and Riley escaped, so that sets up still Miz and Orton for the pay-per-view in a tables match. Cole introduced the line of the year. There were a billion nominations, including the guys from NXT cutting shitty promos and getting buried, which actually was great. Cole himself won, which is funny because the line he was nominated for was one of his fuck-ups, and he was still proud of this fuck-up, and he started to give a speech. They cut him off. They did Superstar of the Year. It was based on fan voting, so of course Cena won. He thanked the fans for voting for him, even though he had only been employed for about an hour. He said that he had left the company, but now he was back full-time.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he was high when he said this.
It's he lied.
The only explanation I have. He said that the only guys left on his list for Nexus were Otunga and Wade. He had taken up everyone else at one time or another. So after talking about how he had been fired and was making his big return, his music plays, and he goes down to the ramp, and Michael Cole says that he is going to wrestle, and this is a quote, for the first time in over a month.
Yeah.
They're not even trying.
Of course not.
They're not even trying. So Cena beat the shit out of Otunga. Nexus came out to watch. Then they left him high and dry. Cena won clean, then beat him up with a chair, and then the show ended. It was shitty.
There you go, everybody. There was Raw.
I'm certain that went more than 5 minutes.
Yeah, I should have kept giving you the one-minute warning every 1 minute, like the woman in the Chael Sonnen deal.
Mm.
All right, let's play a song, and then we'll talk about the good stuff here, everybody. Apologize for the first shitty 18 minutes of this show.
Many times people have said that I don't know how to pronounce roof.
You people, shut up!
When this whole world starts getting me down, and people are just too much for me to face.
So how am I supposed to pronounce it? Roof? That sounds retarded.
I climb way up to the top of the
stairs,
and all my cares just drift.
Fuck you!
Right into space.
I never respect the fact.
On the
roof,
it's peaceful as can
be. Don't go for the dog.
And there the world below.
Shut that bitch up.
Let me tell you now when I come. I go up where the air is fresh and sweet.
Up on the roof?
I get away from the hustling crowd.
Roof?
And all that rat race noise.
Quit fucking telling me I don't know how to say these words.
Up on the roof?
Up on the roof?
And it rhymes with goof.
Lance is scolding you.
From Paul, it says. Fine job, Paul. Fine job. All right, well, I guess we should talk about, let's save ROH for last. I want to talk about, let's talk about it now. Now let's talk about it last. I can't decide. So pick for me, Vince!
Should we talk about SmackDown?
Should I just play another song? Fuck no, we're not talking about SmackDown.
SmackDown
Fuck that
was
show.
Significantly worse than Raw. That's all I will say.
Fuck that show, everybody. Stop watching SmackDown. When I heard that 1.8 million people watched that show last week, I may have been more appalled than the idea of 1.5 million people actually watching Impact. Why would you watch SmackDown? Why are people watching this show?
I don't know.
It's not even like there's a terrible main event angle and like great wrestling up and down the show. There's one good match every week.
Yes.
The rest of it is awful. I mean, god awful shit. We're not talking about SmackDown here. In fact, I can't talk about ROH now. I'm in a bad mood. Talk about the other one we watched.
24/7?
That's right, 24/7. Oh, this will put me in a good mood.
We watched a December 28th, 1984 Madison Square Garden card, or at least the first four or five matches. The opener was SD Jones versus Brutus Beefcake.
Mm-hmm.
Beefcake was enormous here. They introduced him at 273 pounds, and I laughed. And then he took off his jacket, I looked at him and said, you know, that man is 273 pounds right there.
He looked like the British Bulldog, both his body and his face. It was kind of creepy, actually.
Yeah. And they accentuated this by fighting the smallest ref I've ever seen. They dug a hobbit up somewhere and had him ref this match. So they had a 1984 WWF opener. There were hammer locks. There were nerve pinches. There was a chin lock. The ropes were very loose. They did a spot where Jones went for a body slam, but he couldn't hold up the massive Brutus Beefcake like he was wrestling Kamala. And Oakland described the move as a Singapore or Oriental sleeper. There was a kick to the inner thigh. And then Brutus Beefcake got the win with a high knee. And actually, that was a hell of a high knee.
There was a kick to the inner thigh.
That was the comeback.
I see.
That was SD Jones' comeback. He cut Beefcake off, and Beefcake was on his back. And SD grabbed his feet. And he asked the crowd, should I kick this man in the balls? And they all said, yay! But that's illegal, and so SD kicked him to the inner thigh. Gene Oakland cried out, inner thigh!
Well, that's why he lost, everybody.
He didn't kick him the balls.
Brutus Beefcake was, for most of his career, a really shitty worker. He was really bad. But he was a perfectly acceptable professional wrestler in this bout. He did high spots where he... Boy, did this dude run the ropes. We've talked about before how guys today can't run the ropes. And you know... Guys back in the day, they could hit the ropes. Even Brutus Beefcake. There's nobody in WWE today that could hit the ropes like Brutus Beefcake did in this match. And he got some air when he hit this flying knee. So I had absolutely no problem with Mr. Beefcake in this particular battle. He was a totally fine professional wrestler and a great heel.
See, I thought he looked goofy running the ropes, but that may have just been because they were so goddamn loose.
They were very, very loose ropes, yes.
So, yes, we then had Salvatore Bellomo versus Johnny Rods.
Salvatore
Bellomo. Johnny Rods trained a number of wrestlers, including Tim Flowers, who mm-hmm. trained a number of wrestlers, including me. So this was like watching my wrestling grandfather here.
This is quite the stretch, Vinny.
Come on now.
Seriously. Come on.
That's what Tim said.
Your wrestling grandfather is Johnny Rods. Did he tell you that?
No, I made it up.
Oh.
Just now. But Tim told me Johnny Rods trained him.
Actually, this was John Rods.
Perhaps they're different people.
They very well could be.
Yeah. They identified Salvatore's mother and father in the crowd, so it was their first visit ever to the U.S.
Speaking of grandfathers, Salvatore's father looked exactly like my grandfather, Antonio. Like, exactly. So perhaps he's my wrestling grandfather.
Maybe he was.
Yeah.
That was to make that man your wrestling great-grandfather. So Gorilla was talking about Salvatore and how talented he was, and he said the only thing that he didn't like about him was he never lost his cool. I guess that's a negative.
Well, of course it is.
Salvatore wrestled like a fat Lanny Poffo. He did cartwheels and these headlock takeovers and drop kicks, and he did all this wearing a tight white singlet that made him look like a large egg.
A white singlet where the bottom part of the singlet is like underwear. Not like a Kurt Angle singlet where the bottom part is like spandex.
Yeah, it fit him. It was like a French cut bikini singlet.
This was the most... I don't know what to say.
A poor fashion choice.
Unflattering.
It could have been better.
This outfit did not flatter Salvatore Bellomo.
It showed off the... It highlighted the weak points of his physique. So...
I almost said his chode, but come on. We're above that on this show.
No, we would never stoop to such lowbrow comedy. Gorilla said Johnny Rods was, quote, thick and hard all over.
That's what he said. Johnny Rods, thick and hard all over.
He is...
A drop for all of you right there.
His offense consisted entirely of running kicks and running stomps. Eventually, he took a shot to the gut, and Salvatore made his comeback. The finish was he got whipped into the ropes and, in theory, leapt up to the middle rope and came back with a reverse crossbody for the pin. In actuality, he was too fat, so he leapt to the middle rope and sprung off and came up very short. He landed on Rod's legs, but then he rolled through and hooked the legs for the pin. They immediately cut to his parents in the crowd. His mother was teary-eyed. His dad looked completely unimpressed. In fact, I'm not sure his dad knew anything had actually gone on.
And I think his dad actually shrugged at one point as if to say, it appears he was victorious.
I guess, or perhaps even just, I guess it's over now. And Salvatore cut a promo. He thanked America. He said he wanted to kiss the ground, and America was the first country.
That's not true.
No, it's not even close to true.
No. What a lie.
A complete lie.
By Salvatore.
We then had Dr. D. David Schultz contending for the Martial Arts Championship.
David Schultz?
I said his name wrong. Dr. D. David Schultz.
There we go.
Contending for the Martial Arts Championship against Antonio Inoki.
We don't want to confuse the listeners here.
There may be another Dr. D out there.
There might be a Dr. D. David Schultz.
Who wrestled at Inoki in 1984.
The Schultz of the Earth. It's his gimmick.
That's horrible. I feel like you owe me an apology.
No, that's better than any of the comedy that we saw on Raw.
So
I have low standards.
Well, that would explain this show. They had... Actually, this is I really, really like this match. They upped the intensity many, many levels. I wouldn't say it was like worked MMA because they were still doing like ramming guys' heads in the turnbuckles and stuff. But they would engage and there would be a flurry of offense, a lot of strikes and stuff, and then they would disengage and keep their guard up the entire time. This was, as Mauro Ranallo would say, a feeling out process. Mm-hmm. Gene, speaking of lowbrow comedy, said Inoki was, and this is a quote, taking out his martial arts package. Thankfully, this is not actually true.
Thankfully, he wasn't thick and hard all over when he did it.
That would have been a bad combo. Inoki, at one point, dropped Schultz with a series of low kicks. That was something to see. Schultz went for a suplex that Inoki didn't want to take, and the result was a brainbuster that nearly killed him. Schultz then went up for a second rope elbow. He missed. Inoki immediately hit an enziguri for the pin. Crowd went nuts.
Which they called a karate kick.
Yes.
Well, Gorilla, look at that karate kick!
Gorilla called about five different things on this show karate kicks. Apparently, if you just hit a man with your foot, it's a karate kick.
They had another great line. They didn't use Oriental.
Something in here got called Asiatic.
That's right. Asiatic.
Maybe in the next match.
Asiatic.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yes, this is like something straight out of Evolve after the Johnny Rods match, and it ruled. We had Junkyard Dog versus Paul Kelly. We began to fast forward through this immediately. Then we saw Paul Kelly's nobody, decided we had to check this man out. He was a very awful professional wrestler. JYD hooked a bear hug, which is where we gave up. He fast-forwarded again. Junkyard Dog won with a power slam.
It sucked.
We then had the Cobra versus the Black Tiger. Mm-hmm. Howard Finkel introduced the match. He had a belt in his hands. He said this belt was the WWF Junior Heavyweight Championship and that it was vacant. And the winner of the match would receive this belt. This match, after watching it, I'm sure certain, it was on one of the best of the WWF tapes, either Volume 1 or Volume 2. When I was like 11 years old, my local video store had those two tapes. I watched them both a million times in a row. So Cobra was some guy. They said he was from Japan. They said Tiger was from England. And they had a match that went about 10 minutes or so. And for at least 8 of those minutes, the crowd had no idea what to make of any of it. They did some sort of lucha-style mat work. Cobra at one point... What the hell was that?
Just a happy tune.
All right. Cobra hooked a Juji Katami that Gorilla called an arm stretcher. He said Black Tiger's mask resembled Tiger Mask, which it's true. Cobra did a Dean Malenko-style gutbuster and went to a Boston Crab and then a surfboard. Crowd had no idea what to make of any of this. They were completely silent. Gorilla was talking about how much they loved this international flair. Meanwhile, there was no noise except for a few rubes shouting, boring. Oakland, I don't know where he'd been. Maybe he had to pee. But he returned to the announce desk, and the first thing he said was, whoever won this belt could immediately buy himself a $500,000 house. That made me laugh. So then, towards the end there, Tiger finally started playing heel, kind of figured out he was working before an American audience. He was mocking them a little bit. He hit a tombstone, but then missed a reverse top rope elbow. That woke the fans up a bit. Then there was a... I did not write down the finish of the match. Fortunately, I remember it. He hit a... Cobra hit an ugly tope, but the crowd had never seen anything like it before, and it was like they gasped. Like, they didn't cheer, they didn't roar with approval, they just were in awe of it. And Gene said, and I quote, what in the world is going on? So, Tiger got more near falls off a suplex and another tombstone. He went for a third tombstone, but Cobra reversed it into one of his own. He went up top, and he came off with a backsplash for the pin. And when he hit this tombstone and the backsplash, the place went crazy. And like I say, for the first 8 or 9 minutes of this, the crowd didn't care at all. And then the last minute, it was the greatest thing they'd ever seen. So a fine match here in 1984.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Cobra was George Takano. I know we've talked about this match before. I'm trying to figure out who the Black Tiger was. I forget who it was, but that was the Cobra. The one thing about this show... We didn't watch the entire show, but just watching it up to this point, it is amazing that this is the same World Wrestling Federation that we are watching today, because they were so open to different styles.
Yes.
They had the jobber match. They had the match with the two jobbers. They had the match with the opener there, Brutus Beefcake. Getting a big win over a jobber in a competitive match. Then they had a crazy World Martial Arts Championship battle with Antonio Inoki. And then they had this junior heavyweight battle for a junior heavyweight title with the Cobra and the Black Tiger. That is so... Isn't it like we're watching NWA? Is we're watching the same WWF that at the time was run by the same fucking guy that's running it today. I'm just shocked. I was just shocked when I watched this match right here. This whole show. It's like, what's wrong? Why is this all changed? Why is this... They're just like so opposed to the idea of different guys that look different, guys that work different. You know, the indie style is frowned upon. The Japanese style will be frowned upon. They don't allow any lucha unless it's lucha spots in an American style. What happened to Vince?
I don't have an answer to that.
What happened to this man?
It is true that it's this, we watch the same cookie-cutter guys doing the same promos and same matches every week, and have for a long time now, by the way. It's not just in 2010, so I don't know. I don't have an answer. It's sad. Yeah. It's very sad.
The Black Tiger mask, the match was very good. It was a collection of spots. It was two guys doing a bunch of spots with no psychology. It was like, a dude took like three tombstones in a row and didn't sell them, and then did a tombstone of his own and the moonsault or the senton. But it again, had no psychology, so it took a long time for the people to get into it. But then when we started doing a bunch of moves at the end of the match, the place went nuts, and they loved the finish. So there you go. The Black Tiger... I still have absolutely no idea who the Black Tiger was in that match. I'm going to have to look around here. It was Mark Rocco. That makes sense. Because he was from the UK.
Sure.
There you go. Rollerball Rocco. There you go. His pinnacle of success was defeating Gran Hamada in a tournament for the vacant WWF Junior Heavyweight title. And I presume this was the same Black Tiger. Yes, because the next Black Tiger was Eddie Guerrero in 1993. So there you go, everybody. George Takano and Mark Rocco was the actual match right there. So anyway, this one's on 24/7. I recommend watching it. Don't watch the Junkyard Dog match.
No, you shouldn't.
Maybe we'll watch the rest of it somewhere down the road. All right, let me play a quick song here, then we'll talk about the best show of the week by a country mile in more ways than one. This is apparently Dave Meltzer as Batman.
How you doing, everybody? This is Dave Meltzer, and we're going to be here for the next 2 hours talking about pro wrestling.
Oh, my God, we even talked about Conan.
Brian does get propositioned every now and then on the website.
What?
Dave Meltzer. Dave Meltzer. Dave Meltzer.
Oh, Jesus.
Dave Meltzer. Dave Meltzer. Dave Meltzer. Dave Meltzer.
Here's a question for you. Let's say Vince lives to be 150 years old.
Well, he's not going to.
That
my wife is stunned, too.
Oh, my God. Wow, what a disaster. I wonder if they can move the ring to the parking lot. I don't see that happening.
Dave Meltzer. Dave Meltzer. Dave Meltzer. Dave Meltzer. Dave Meltzer. Dave Meltzer.
Okay. All right.
I suspect that one will be very polarizing. People will love that song or they will hate it.
Hmm. 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 All right. Let's play one more and then we'll get into ROH. This is a Sheamus song. Actually, you know what? We'll hold this one off. Let's get into ROH. I don't got all night here, everybody, and neither do you. This show was great.
This was a great goddamn television show right here.
You know what's sad is... so few people watch ROH on HDNet, and meanwhile, 1.5 million people watch Impact, and 1.8 million people watch SmackDown. That's really sad. That's tragic.
A lot about how things in life are not always fair or just.
First off, this show is very well booked. It's a great show building up a big event, which unfortunately is on internet pay-per-view, which actually I shouldn't even say unfortunately, because you know they can make money off of it, because all they have to do is pay for the setup and they get half of every buy. So you're not losing money. You're pretty much guaranteed to make money on this whole deal right there. I am sad that several shows have done 1,500 buys.
What bullshit.
I would like to see them do as many buys or more than TNA, because in fact, quite frankly, if they did as many buys as TNA, based on the way that it's set up on GoFightLive.tv, they would make far more money than TNA is making. And of course, they're not losing the kind of money that TNA is losing, so they'd be in much better shape financially. But just not the way things are. A lot of people didn't watch this show. It's too bad. They did a fine job building up Final Battle. They did a fine job with the three big matches on the show, which, of course, are Roderick Strong versus Davey Richards for the title, Briscoes and Papa Briscoe against Shane Hagedorn and the Kings of Wrestling, and then the Kevin Steen versus Generico match, where Generico's mask is on the line and Kevin Steen's career in ROH is on the line. And, of course, I remember all of these off the top of my head,
uh-huh,
because it's a fucking great TV show building these matches up, and they didn't waste time on the shit that doesn't matter.
Right.
They didn't waste time on goofball undercard matches. You know, they had brief mentions of them here and there and that sort of thing, but they focus all of their attention on the three matches that matter. That's what you do in a TV show like this. So, anyway, I think that ROH fans that watch this TV show are probably going to end up purchasing this pay-per-view. I hope this show does like 2,000 buys or 2,500 buys, and send a message that they're doing the right thing. Stay the course.
Yes.
So
change nothing.
We'll see what happens.
Show opened with Jim Cornette bringing Davey Richards into the ring for a promo. If you told me a year ago a show would open that way, I probably wouldn't be too excited, but Davey's ROH promos have improved dramatically. He's really good at speaking from the heart and hitting the bullet points he needs to. I don't know how he would do given a script in a WWE skit, probably not good, but he's tremendous here. He talked about how he had one more tag match with Eddie Edwards against the Kings of Wrestling the night before Final Battle. He plugged that match, but then said it would be the last time they were teaming, although the American Wolves would never die. The fact was, Eddie Edwards was a singles champion. He needed to concentrate on the TV title, while Davey himself needed to fulfill his destiny and win the world title. The fans chanted next world champion him. He vowed to dominate Roderick and walk out the world champion. He said Truth Martini was full of shit. This elicited a classic Jim Cornette gasp. He told him to please watch his language. This was television. Davey said he always spoke straight. He said Martini was always interfering in Roderick's matches. That brought Roderick and Martini out. Strong was appalled. He said everyone wanted to blame Truth for his success. Nobody wanted to give him any credit. He said if Truth interfered, he would just hand the belt to Davey himself. Truth interjected, saying you should avoid declarative statements because that way you will avoid looking foolish in the future. And then Roderick asked Davey how it was going to feel to fail, to let down the fans and his dead grandfather. That pissed Davey off. He chased them from the ring, and they played his music, and that ended. This was great.
Fine segment hyping up the main event on the show.
We had Daisy Hayes facing Taylor Hendricks. Daisy Hayes does have a match in the pay-per-view, but it's not against Taylor Hendricks, and so she just squashed her.
Mm-hmm.
Fine.
She didn't lose.
Nope. She...
There wasn't a stupid run-in.
No, there was... There was no ref bump. There were no foreign objects. There were no false finishes. Daisy Hayes faced a jobber and destroyed her.
Yeah.
Great.
It was great.
Speaking of great, everyone, we had a promo by the Briscoe family.
They're all on the show tomorrow, everybody.
On Friday.
No, tomorrow.
You're having the Briscoes on the show?
All three of them. I'm having both Briscoes and their father on this show tomorrow. We'll talk to them one at a time. And have Papa Briscoe hopefully do what he did here. He was a megastar on this show. The Briscoes, Mark Briscoe is like, I don't know what the hell he's saying half the time. Jay Briscoe is a pretty good angry redneck promo. And then there's Papa Briscoe, who's never done this before in his life, but he's already got catchphrases. Peckerhead.
Hey, little Peckerhead.
Is one of them, yeah. And what's the other one? Shane Hagedorn, man up, I'm going to kick your ass or whatever. You're begging to see him beat up Shane Hagedorn after this promo.
And the way he's always sure to mention Friday night, Final Battle, New York City. You always know the date and the name of the show, and he gets all the important stuff out there and makes you care.
He knows exactly what to do. I got it. I cannot wait. I want to talk to him more than the other two Briscoes. I'm not going to lie.
Honestly,
I've got to find out what makes this man tick.
Yeah. What has he been doing the past 40 to 50 years that has not been pro wrestling, and why was he doing it?
And by the way, I'm going to put this on the, it'll probably be on, in fact, it will be on the site by the time everybody listens to this, but there's a training video now of the Briscoes and Papa Briscoe, and...
I suspect it's good.
You know, they do is they just like, they just... If it's going to be a video, they give the Briscoes a camera and they have them film shit. And if it's promo, they just put the camera in front of them and have them be the Briscoes.
Yeah.
This is why this is such a fucking success. They don't dress the Briscoes up in a goddamn suit.
Nope.
And
they don't give them wacky costumes.
Nothing. These guys are literally exactly who they are.
Yeah. They found two screwjob redneck brothers from Delaware. And just had them go.
Put a mic in front of their face. Their dad's face.
Let what happens happen.
Awesome.
Yes. I could have watched this 1,000 times. We had Kevin Steen versus Corey Chavis, who is, if you don't know who that is, it's one half of the Dark City Fight Club. This was a mean guy match. Just two big ornery fuckers. Didn't have a lot of time, but they did had a fine match for what they did. Steen had the heat, but then he went to get Generico's mask that he carries around. He distracted himself. That gave Chavis time to recover. He made a little comeback. Then Steen cut him off and hit a powerbomb and an F5 and the package pile driver for the win. That is plenty of finishers.
He killed him.
He killed him dead. Especially the package pile driver on Corey Chavis is a big, big dude. So hopefully, I haven't heard about him dying, so I assume Steen was strong enough to hold him up there and protect him. Then they aired a fantastic music video for the Steen Generico match. Talked about how they were friends for 6 years, a tag team champions. They fought alongside each other. And then 1 year ago, Steen turned on him like an asshole. And the Steen, it was all clips of how Steen hated him and how much he loved turning on him, how hitting El Generico with a chair was better than the birth of his son. And they showed all the clips of the chain matches and Carino and Cabana and all that's going on between them, and how this Saturday they are going to wrestle for the final time. This was awesome.
Alex O'Keefe.
I beg your pardon?
Alex O'Keefe.
Who is that?
That's the man who put this together.
Oh, great work.
17 years old.
A prodigy. With apologies to Mike Bennett.
Fucking, this was the best thing on this show.
You probably did it with like an iMac.
This was the, there was a really good video at the end too, but this one to me was like the best thing on this entire show. It was so fucking good. And then you find out 17-year-old fan basically put this together.
I hope he got an A on the project. He probably did it for extra credit in art class.
I give him an A. I give him an honorary F4WOnline.com degree in awesomeness.
This was fantastic.
Everybody, this is, I'm going to have to put this one. I don't think I put this one up on the front page yet, but I'm going to, in fact, let me do that right now. God damn it. This was so fucking good that I want everybody to watch it. So, yeah, Alex O'Keefe, big plug out for him.
Well done, sir. And then we have the main event of the show, Roderick Strong versus Austin Aries. Roderick Strong is the world champion. He is wrestling in the main event of the pay-per-view on Saturday. Austin Aries is the only two-time champion in Ring of Honor, although he has since left the company, but obviously had not here. They were both heels, so I had, I wouldn't say low hopes, because they're both really good too, but I've seen a lot of matches in Ring on ROH TV that didn't have the heat they should have. So I had, I expected, well, not a lot of heat for this heel versus heel match, but they worked so damn hard, the crowd had no option but to get into it. It was quite great. They were working fast, but it wasn't a connect the dots, move style exhibition of moves. It was two guys having a fight, and both guys, when they were on offense, didn't want to give the other guy a chance to recover. It was fantastic. So they're having this a back and forth match. Then Aries sends Truth outside. He goes for his tope, but when he hits the ropes on the other side, Truth trips him. And, of course, Roderick had his back turned and didn't see this. Aries laid Truth out. Truth took... I've only seen this man take two bumps in my life. And they were both just off the charts fantastic. I forget what... the first one was... I forget who was wrestling, but he... Or who Roderick was wrestling. But he went up to the top rope, and he got crotched. And he sold this by pointing to his own testicles violently and rapidly. It was awesome. Here he got punched on the apron. He went flying in the air. He got tangled on the ropes. It was great. But then the result of all this was Aries turned around and walked into a leg lariat from Roderick, and that was the heat. So Roderick worked him over. It was great. And then Aries made a big comeback. The place was going nuts. They went for all their finishers, all their near falls. Strong got to kick out of everything because he is, after all, the world champion. He kicked out of the brainbuster. Aries hit the 450 splash, but Strong grabbed the ropes. Aries went for another brainbuster, but Strong, and you had to see this. You had to see how fluidly he pulled this off. But he instantly turned this counter. This he threw Aries high into the air and turned it into a monstrous backbreaker.
That was a fucking great move.
That was awesome. And then he instantly followed with his one-legged dropkick for the pin. This was a great goddamn TV match.
Yeah, I love this match.
If you added this to your list of great matches from 2010, I would not have complained at all.
Sure, this was I would say an easy 4-star match.
This was for free on television, and it built to a match on Saturday for the pay per view that will probably be even better.
And it's fine to give this match away for free on TV because Austin Aries is no longer with the promotion.
Sure, and he did the job on his way out. Yeah. It didn't. And there was no, I don't know if this was his last match, but we have seen a number of times in TNA where a guy will do his last match, and then as he's leaving after being fired, they will do so much work to put him over. Here, yeah. Guy's doing his last match, has a great match, but the end of it is the other guy comes out looking better, and then good luck in your future endeavors. And then they had a very, very long video package hyping the three big matches for the pay-per-view. And the great thing is they made all three matches seem like, but by the end of this video, you thought, I must see not just I must see these three matches, but each one of those matches felt like something worthy of main eventing a show, main eventing a big show. And for entirely different reasons. Davey Richards and Roderick Strong is for the, it is for the world championship. It is the best guy in Ring of Honor who has never been champion. It seems like he's finally going to get the title he so richly deserves. The Briscoes and Kings of Wrestling are going to have a great six-man tag, and we're finally going to see the Briscoes get their revenge. And most importantly, Shane Hagedorn is finally going to get the beating that's coming his way. And Steen and Generico are going to resolve their year-long personal feud, and there are heavy stipulations involved where either one man must unmask or the other must leave forever. Mm-hmm. God damn, this is awesome.
Yeah, this was...
I'm going to say this. This is the best wrestling TV show I saw all year.
About that. It was certainly way up there. I'd have to look back at all the other TV shows this year, but it was... Well, actually, if I look at that Generico deal again, I may just call this one the best. Andy Edwards and David Lagana did that show-ending video, and we'll talk to David about that later on this week, about doing videos like this, and ask him why we don't see videos like this in WWE, and we'll see what he has to say about that. But, yeah, an awesome television show. I will say this. I think... Let me think about this. There was some good stuff involving Shawn Michaels earlier this year.
The Shawn Taker video is still my favorite of all time. But
yeah, that was with Johnny Cash. That was better than this one here.
That may have been.
But that's not... That is not a knock, Alex O'Keefe. Yeah, I will say, if this was not the best, this was one of the like the top two best go home shows all year long. And again, it's just depressing to see the fucking bullshit that is SmackDown and Impact every
and
fucking
Raw.
Week. Well, yeah, Raw's awful too, but Raw at least has good shows. King of the Ring was a great show.
All right.
But you know, SmackDown has been consistently awful. Impact is just consistently bullshit. And, you know, to see such an awesome show, and it's on HDNet, as opposed to Spike TV, for example, or Sci-Fi, or the USA Network, it does pain my soul a bit. So, for the love of God, if you're listening to this right now, and you watch this show, and you've got the opportunity, for example, to pirate this show, or to stream it illegally, just buy the show. I realize, I don't know, just buy the show. That's all I'm going to say. I'm sure there are going to be people that are going to just be appalled at me preaching about this kind of thing. But seriously, if you like something, pay for it and support the product. This product deserves to be supported.
Yes. And of the three companies we just discussed, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I assume they're the ones who are most in need of our support.
Oh, yeah.
If one of those goes out of business this year, isn't it most likely to be ROH?
Well, all of the indies are struggling.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Everybody listen to me. Just pay for Dragon Gate, ROH, Evolve, all of PWG, all of these independent promotions that you know, they're trying to get by. And if you look through, if you go through the issue I just did with the best matches that I saw. And keep in mind, I did not watch a whole hell of a lot of independent wrestling. But in this list here of the best matches I've ever seen, we've got Tyler Black and Davey Richards, ROH, Hiro and Tozawa, PWG, Briscoes versus Damian Edwards from ROH, BB Hulk, six-man here from Dragon Gate USA, got another ROH Kings of Wrestling match, got another ROH match right here, got another Kings of Wrestling Briscoes match. Got another Dragon Gate USA match. AAA. Got another PWG.
You can't say that with a straight face.
ROH. Dragon Gate USA. Dragon Gate USA. Dragon Gate USA. Some WWE stuff. There was actually... I think I gave more WWE matches 4 stars than TNA matches. Which is kind of... tells you how much they fucking handicap their guys in TNA. But another PWG... Dragon Gate USA, ROH, Dragon Gate USA. So anyway, I looked through this damn list right here, and granted, I didn't watch a lot of PWG, I didn't watch a lot of Chikara, I didn't watch a lot of CZW, there's tons of independent promotions I did not watch, but for Christ's sake, the ones I did watch, one fucking great match after another all year long. ROH, awesome action. Dragon Gate USA, awesome action. There were even matches I completely forgot to put in the Bryan Danielson Shingo match. That's probably my first or second favorite match of the entire year after the Chris Hero Tozawa match. So anyway, if you have the opportunity to pay for this, help support these guys. You know what I mean? Help support them.
Help a brother out.
Help a brother out, especially if you actually enjoy the stuff. All right, that's enough preaching right there. We're going to ask you to support us, of course, by reading some shout-outs here. But first off, let's play a quick song here. This is from Bloodsport 3000. It's a fella song.
Hmm? What?
I don't know. It's not doing anything.
A fellow song, you said?
Fella!
Ah, I see.
That failed. It's a fail. Let's try this one here. Johnny Cash and Granny. Should be quite the duet.
There will be peace
in the gully
for me someday. Peace
in the gully
for me. Dear Lord, I pray there'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble. I see there'll be peace
in the gully and it's dark.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Peace in the gully, everyone.
It's dark.
And it's dark. That's right. All right. It's time for some shout outs. And we've got a doink load of them. This is from Joe Gagne, our old friend. Using this shout out to plug a special podcast, I recently did a reunion special of my old podcast, Joe versus the World. Which one time featured appearances from yourself, Vinny, and most of those involved in the website. This time, Justin Shapiro and I look at the year 1990 in the WWF in a show that has already gotten great reviews from new and old fans alike. The show is free to download. I'm also using the opportunity to ask people to contribute to a charity that personally means a lot to me, the March of Dimes. You can find a link to the show and the link to contribute at joeversustheworld.com or in the thread in the radio show section of the board. Thanks and happy holidays, Joe Gagne, joeversustheworld.com. A great podcast. I will give it my stamp of approval. joeversustheworld.com. Everybody head over there and check it out. And by the way, the reason we do shout-outs, everybody, if you sign up to the website, you get a free shout-out. So the ridiculous amount of stuff you get when you sign up. You get all of the radio shows. For those of you that only get to hear a free show once per week, just think about this. 20 shows a week. 20 brand new shows. I do a show almost every single day. We do Brian and Vinny shows 2 to 3 times a week. We do Wrestling Observer Radio sometimes as many as 4 or 5 times a week. I've got interview shows, Figure Four Daily. Some of the biggest names in the history of wrestling have been on the show. Bret Hart, Ric Flair, Bruno Sammartino, Chris Jericho, Daniel Bryan, list goes on, all on Figure Four Daily. Conan, been on the show. Lance Storm is on every other week. We cover everything. Japan, Lucha, MMA. We got a couple of MMA podcasts, 5-Star Radio. And, of course, Oliver Kopp and Mike Sawyer do Tough Talk as well. So, 2 shows strictly covering MMA. Dave and I talk MMA all the time, too. So if you love pro wrestling or mixed martial arts, you get both of those. Every show we've ever done is archived. So if you went to the website today and paid $10.99 for a month, you can not only get every new show that we do, every show we do, including next week. Next week, everyone, it's the annual Christmas show where Vinny and I sit down for 2 to 3 hours. We turn on this equipment. We drink like motherfuckers.
We basically force alcohol into ourselves.
We get so ridiculously drunk and we party for 3 hours. We do it every year on Christmas. So that's coming up for all subscribers in a year, in a week, I'm sorry. And if you sign up, you not only get all of those new shows, but you get every show you've ever done. Go back and listen to all of the former Christmas shows. Go back and search the archives and listen to all the interviews we've done. You can go back and listen to every single Brian and Vinny show we have ever done for the same $10.99 that you pay for the month. There's no extra fees or anything like that. You get the Wrestling Observer newsletter twice a week. You get Figure Four weekly, every single week. You get an archive of back issues of The Observer, which date back to 2008. And we've got archived issues from 1991 through 1993, and we add a new one every week. You get all of that. You just get everything. And you get a free fucking shout out. What more could you ask for? $10.99. And it's Christmas time, everybody. So spring for a gift for yourself. Listen, if you're a freeloader and you've never signed up before, I'm not asking you to sign up for a year. I'm not even asking you to sign up for recurring. Do a one-time $10.99 payment. Try it out for a month. And I'm pretty confident, if you've been a freeloader for any length of time and you like the show, pretty fucking confident that you'll be happy with the money you spent and you'll sign up for a longer subscription. Or you'll just continue subscribing. So it's $10.99. I don't want to guilt everybody, but for Christ's sake, it's $10.99 to try all this out. So get up there and try it. And then send in your shout out and we'll read it here on the air. On a free show, I might add. This is from Mitchell here. Before I go any further, my name is pronounced Air. So Mitchell Air. A-Y-R-E. Even I can figure that out. On my shout-out, I've been a freeloader for 6 months. Finally decided to join before Survivor Series started. Here you go, everybody. Like to shout-out some awesome people. CM Punk, Alberto Del Rio, The Nexus, the 2010 NRL Premiers, the St. George Dragons, and the hopefully Ashes-winning English cricket team. Graham Smith, Shane Warne, and Karaoke. Also, fuck you, Microsoft Access, and John Cena. It's from Mitchell Eyre in Newcastle, Australia. Mitchell, thanks for jumping in and taking the plunge into the subscription area for only $10.99 a month. And hope you
enjoy
it.
Good luck with your hatred of Microsoft Access and John Cena.
Yeah.
Not a combination.
Chris Fernandez here. Fellas, fairly new to the site, despite being a wrestling fan, since I saw Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect at SummerSlam 1991. That was a great fucking show. What got me to sign up was actually the Brian and Vinny show. I likely would sign up just for your two weekly shows, so everything else is just a bonus. I must say, I do wish you guys reviewed for far more indie shows, particularly Chikara and PWG. They would really fit into the show format. We should actually do more of that. What big indie matches do the two of you feel are left to do on the indies? If I were to book an indie super show, I'd book Moxley versus Kingston. I presume that's Eddie Kingston, Kofi Kingston. Kings of Wrestling versus the Osirian Portal. And Vinny versus Nick Gage. I'd pay for that one.
I wrong person to ask. And the last man will not happen.
Commentary would
I suspect Nick Gage is a very violent wrestler who uses all kinds of weapons and stuff.
Especially since his nickname is Effin.
Effin Nick Gage.
And commentary would be provided by Brian and Madman Pondo. That I would enjoy. I love sex. As you can assume, I am drunk. Good night! Actually, that was Richard Sheely.
Well, thank you for sharing and hope I continue to enjoy it.
This is from Paul. I know it's late, but I wanted you to see it anyway. I tried sending it from my iPhone, and I noticed it still hadn't sent. Oh, it's a limerick.
Oh, well, all right.
Hope you can read it on one of the shows, or just let me know what you think. Pretty sure it would have won, and next time I'll post it on Granny's Facebook wall. Anyhow, enjoy.
Okay, that still will not have won. We made it very clear what you had to do to enter.
Well, he tried, and his iPhone didn't work.
All right.
In the 90s, in towns like Nantucket, DX told the fans to suck it. Then China got fired. Shawn Michaels retired. Now pay-per-view buy rates all plummet.
That went out of one.
That's a pretty good one, though.
Better than some we got.
That's true. Enjoy the show tomorrow night. Josh has to come out. Oh, he's talking about the UFC event there. That is from Paul in Winnipeg. Thank you very much for that one, Paul. And a fine attempt at a limerick. All right, this is from Barry. Limerick Lad on the board. Fine, man. Brian and Vinny, I just paid for a second shout-out. I felt it was appropriate as I approach 1 year on the site, having signed up in early January of this year. Have some shout-outs for folks on the website and the board. It's been a rough few months, and I owe everyone on the board for their kind words, and everyone who contributes to the site for giving me something to take my mind off it. Things are on the up these days, so thanks very much. Shout-outs to the following great boarders. Iamo, version 1.
It's been like 7 years.
Gets funnier every time to me. Klitz, Pingu Girl, Crumbly, Tom C., King Enigma, Worship the Ram. Oh, come on now. Hitman, Doom Chicken, Catrere, Alan Farrell, Diabol. I don't even give a fuck how you pronounce it. And my good buddy, Aeroscorp. Apologies if I've forgotten you. Those are just the names I could think of off the top of my head. To you, Brian, you keep the site ticking and offer the most comedy of anyone on the site. Of course I do. Thanks for the hard work, and I hope you and your new family have a happy Christmas and prosperous New Year. I actually initially almost read that as a preposterous New Year.
Or both.
I actually expect. Vinny, your contributions are often a highlight of the F4W week. I think you are quite underrated.
Aw, that's sweet.
I figured he was going to say underweight, but that would be a lie.
That would be a lie.
You are definitely
unless he was comparing me to, say, an orca.
You are definitely the Alex Riley to Brian's Miz.
What?
Which I hope you take as a compliment. To Dave Meltzer, thank you for making the internet worthwhile and keeping pro wrestling interesting. Thanks to Granny, Lance Storm, Todd Martin, Mike Sempervivi, and everyone else who contributes to the site. I've rambled far too much. I'll finish by saying that when you sign up to F4W Online, you not only get a quality product, but you join a fabulous community of great men and women.
I think I'm the Alex Riley to your Matt Stryker.
I would say you join a family. You join a family. Obviously, everybody has black sheep in the family. We've got several of those on the board. But a family, nonetheless. This here is from Brian A., presumably is not me.
You have an identity crisis?
I've been a subscriber to the site for over a year, probably 2 years now, actually. It's getting Dave's Observer newsletter dating back to December of 94. I guarantee I was the only kid at my high school who was reading Insider Dirt Sheets back then. Hoping you both continue to do what you're doing well into your 90s and beyond. Unless you get all senile and nonsensical, then you can keep your opinions to yourself, you old codger. Anyway, I was listening to the June 1st, 2010, Brian and Vinny show. You guys had just gotten back from your Memorial Day trip to Vegas. Vinny was raving about how great of a man Dr. Lucha is. I would like to concur and dedicate my shout-out to the good doctor.
Amen.
A few years back, I emailed him randomly. I had never corresponded with him before, asking if he knew good places to get Lucha and Puro magazines. And not only to give me some good suggestions, but he asked for my address and sent me a bunch of recent magazines, several from Mexico and several from Japan. What a guy!
He is a fine, great human being.
He actually is a really... Dr. Lucha is like one of those guys that like is legitimately just a really nice guy. Like a great guy. I have nothing but great things to say about Dr. Steve.
Tremendous admiration.
By the way, Brian, what's with you in Japanese wrestling? You seem to rarely comment and seem generally uninterested in the product or the subject, which seems odd considering all of the other fight sports that you cover. Thought the site was Japan-free as far as audio until I finally sampled the Mike and Adam show. I zone out when they talk hockey, but the Japanese wrestling chatter is usually quite fun. Japanese wrestling is not easy to come by. I don't get tapes. I don't get DVDs. It requires a lot of downloading and watching on the computer. I don't enjoy that. So, yeah. When Japanese pro wrestling ends up on G4 or something, then we'll talk. HDNet, yeah. And thank you very much to B.A., the other Brian A. He says, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, Brian. Sorry about all the lack of Japanese pro wrestling that I cover there. Zach here says, guys, I love the show. Been a subscriber to the site for about 8 months now. Finally decided to cash in my shout-out. Signed up shortly after discovering an archive of your free shows on a different site. I knew I had to subscribe for the wackiness that I was missing. Since then, my $10.99 a month has been worth every cent, especially in regards to the expansive audio archive. Recently decided to go back and listen to the Brian and Vinny show from the beginning to find the sources of many of the hilarious drops over the years. And although I've only made it through May of 06, I've already heard the first appearance of Granny, the mention of Master T and Gary Mandolo, Sheik's debut, and Brokeback Vinny. The news updates and show spoilers also help me keep with the shows that I don't necessarily want to devote time to watching, such as Impact. I don't really use the board, but from what I've seen, it's the best board on the internet. Wow.
That was an odd statement.
Clearly you've not seen much.
I don't use it, but it's the best.
I urge all those freeloaders out there to sign up immediately. On a final note, I implore the both of you to allow the return of the criminal Brent Kremen to the show, as all the shows that I've heard with him involved are great. That is all. Keep up the great work. I was going to have Brent on, but he was so fucking annoying trying to email me and call me and text me and Facebook me about the Hanukkah show that I had to just put the hammer down on him. He'll be on again soon.
I don't want to say he's gone off the rails, but...
It's just too wacky.
T's been very Brent lately.
Yeah. And finally, you'll never guess who sent in the shout out. No, it's not Anchor.
Oh.
Ed.
Oh.
What's up, Chico and Vinny? Sending the shout out to plug Over the Top Radio, which everybody knows is actually the Drunkcast. And let everyone know that Brian was our guest the past 2 weeks, talking everything from kittens to the greatness of Shawn Michaels. And this coming Friday, we will be joined by Lance Storm.
What?
And yes, it will be a better show than the one Brian does with him this week. Bullshit. We should do a poll. Now I've been challenged.
Well, the only problem there is no one listens to Ed's show.
Oh,
so
no one
to vote for. I'm sorry, Ed.
And you're at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo or at angrymarks.com. Also like to send a shout out to Granny and that jerk Rodney. Also, a super big shout out to a special friend for making this the best birthday I ever had. How sweet.
Aww.
Ed's got a lady friend. Very sweet. And she looks like a wonderful woman. P.S. I need someone to step up and take over for the strip club plans for the Vegas trip. Because I might not be coming alone this year. I see.
I bet we can find someone who can handle the difficult chore of calling a cab and heading to
So let me get
Olympic
this straight.
Gardens,
let me get this straight. Ed, if you bring your special lady to Vegas, you're not going to be able to go to the strip clubs.
That doesn't sound like one of Ed's special ladies.
That's not going to go over, Ed. That's not going to go over very well, my friend. So, yeah, there you go, everybody. Shout-outs. And that is going to do it for today. We've had a lot of fun here on this program once we got past that fucking Raw review. So, before we go, I suppose we should do one last song here. So, let's find a... Oh, and by the way, you can get all the songs, of course, when you sign up as well at angrymarks.com. You can actually get them before you sign up. I shouldn't have said that, but... What the hell can he do?
Well, it's still true. If you sign up, you can get them.
It is true. Let's grab one more here. And this is a tasty song.
What?
A tasty song. Well, it involves Tugboat. That wasn't exactly tasty. Since we haven't talked about the... actually, you know what? Let's do this one from Klitz. He always does great songs here. Daniel, as Granny calls him. Here we go.
Each little snail here, you're hot to whale here. That's why it's hot under the water. Yeah, we in luck here, down in the muck here, under the sea.
Yes.
There you go, everybody.
That one is great because he adds the growl at the end.
That's it, kids. We're out of here. Tomorrow. Hey, by the way, don't forget to check out today's Figure Four Daily with Jerry Lynn. And tomorrow on the show, we're going to be joined by... actually, we've got two shows tomorrow. We've got Todd Martin on the show for our usual Wednesday chat. We'll be joined by Jonathan Snowden of Total MMA and the MMA Encyclopedia. We'll be talking about that. And Todd has a game we're going to play tomorrow.
Oh, boy!
And in the evening, Dave Meltzer's going to join us, and we're going to talk to Bill Apter. That's right. Bill Apter is going to be on the show. Of course, on... God damn it, I can't believe I almost forgot that. All three Briscoes are on tomorrow as well. Thursday, Lance Storm is going to be on the show, and David Lagana to talk ROH. So we got a shitload of stuff coming up. So sign up, check it out. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Adios.